Good evening. I am Reverend Judy Hosner, and welcome to another episode of The Journey 8. Come in, sit down, and spend the next hour with us as we talk it out. So, that was Stretch Out by Bethany Engelhard, and it's a new song on the list. I found it while perusing through the indie list, and I like it. All right. So, welcome to The Journey 8. I'm Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to hang with the group, Reverend Jen Phipps and Reverend Ellen Carica. Yes, my sidekick Ellen is here tonight. Hello.
Hey. Hello. I'm here.
And there's Jen. Yay! Yay! The Three Musketeers. This is the fifth. What, Jen?
I just say yay.
Oh, yay. And this is the fifth week of Eastertide. That means there's only two more weeks before Pentecost, which brings a whole new meaning to earth, wind, and fire. Reverend Ellen is going to be teaching us a little bit about Pentecost a little bit later in the show. And for those of you who have forgotten the meaning or those who don't know the meaning at all, she's gonna do Pentecost 101. Woo! Okay, so Wasif is out there listening, but he had things to do, so he won't be on the show this week. And Jenna is listening to us as she's doing work. Oh, these workaholics, I tell you. Little bit of announcements here and there. If you don't have the phone number to call in and ask questions or say something constructive, here it is, pencil and paper, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. And that is toll free, so you can call in and the engineer will let me know you're on the line and you have a question. Don't be afraid to give us a ring. And I said this last show, we've all had our rabies shots, right, Ellen?
Yes, we've had those shots.
And we don't bite, usually. So, you know, and the number works on smart or dumb phones, landlines, marine to shore phones, and best of all, it works on those funky shoe phones. So you have no excuse. So there. Also, I've had a couple of people write me and ask me, I miss your show. I'm bummed. Obviously, they haven't been to the webpage. Each show is recorded, and the engineering staff at BBS Radio archives it probably about 48 hours afterwards. So all you have to do is go on my page, which is, of course, bbsradio.com/thejourney8. And right underneath my glowing picture, you will find a list.
Glowing. Oh, I thought you said it was glowing.
Well, maybe I am going. I don't know yet. You didn't take me off the air, did you?
Just checking.
So you just click on the date of the show you want to listen to, and it will be there. Now, for those of you who have not listened to archived footage before, the music is always abbreviated. So you might hear like the first minute. And that's so that the files stay at a reasonable. All right. Now I'm going to skip number one of the real announcements and go to number two, which is really real of the real announcements. Here we go. As many of you know, especially my regular followers, whenever something special happens to me, I always try to say a big thank you on the air to the person or persons involved. And I do this so everyone listening knows that good people happen in our lives every day. And all you have to do is open your eyes and your heart. I believe that with all my heart. I've seen it so many times. You smile first, and I can guarantee you they'll smile back at you, usually unless they had a bad cup of coffee. A couple of days ago, last Friday actually, had my first cataract surgery. The nurses, especially the poor nurses, the anesthesia staff, and of course my surgeon, Dr. Muir, were awesome. I can't tell you what a great doctor she is. And Dr. Gupta, her assistant, was pretty cool too. Let me tell you, my air conditioner finally went off. That thing's noisy. I came into the surgery floor at Duke at the crisp hour of 6 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah, I was the first person. What, Jen?
That's early.
Yeah, that meant I had to be up and about at 3 a.m.
Oh, no, that's too early.
Because it takes me forever to do anything in the morning anyway. So whenever I'm either sleepy, tired, or nervous, which I was all of three, I start singing to keep myself awake or to keep myself from freaking out. So, of course, I walked on the floor, started singing. Nurses were great. They started singing along with me. And before I knew it, when I left, I had them all laughing and singing. You know, most of you know that I am awful. I am perpetually telling awful jokes. Not that the joke is awful. I'm just awful at telling them. But bless their hearts, they laughed with me anyway. The surgery went great because the doctor was awesome. So here's to the staff of the Duke Eye Center Surgery Department at the Erin Street location. This song is one of my favorites. We play it on the show often. And so that's why I picked it out for you all. Thanks again. And my eye is doing great. And God bless you. We're going to play some Head Up by Karen Williams.
The world can beat you down, knock you to the ground if you let it. We were made to overcome. Victory is won. Don't forget it. Well, it's the joy of being saved.
That's for you, my Duke doctors, nurses, and Indian chiefs. All right, so I have my trusty sidekick, whom I have missed terribly while she's been gallivanting the galaxy. And she's here tonight because I asked her, and not because I asked her and she's here, but, you know, I wanted to, for those of you who don't have the background or have forgotten, to give us a little bit of Pentecost 101. Are you ready?
Yes. Hello, everyone. How are you? For those of you that don't know, my name is Reverend Ellen Carica, but I'm better known as Sidekick. Pentecost is my favorite part of the liturgical calendar. There's Easter, there's Lent, there's Advent, and I just love Pentecost. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I brought up Pentecostal, but I love Pentecost. You know, I don't want to preach at you, I just want to talk to you, and I just want to give you some information that maybe you've forgotten, maybe that you don't care to remember, but I'm here to try and enlighten you a little bit. Pentecost was the day that Jesus had told his disciples to watch for. They kept saying, but where you go, we want to go. I want to go with you. And he told them, you cannot go with me. The cup that I have to bear, you cannot bear this cup. So he told them, he says, just be patient. Remember everything that I taught you. Remember all the lessons that I gave you, the way we healed and delivered and redeemed others. Just remember those things. And my Father is going to send you a helpmate. The helpmate is called the Holy Spirit. Some denominations call it the Holy Ghost. Whatever you call it, it's can't the hear. Same. Wait a minute.
They can't hear it.
Can you hear me?
Way too late. Okay.
Okay.
You got to speak into that mic.
Okay.
How boom about that now? Voice.
Is that better?
Engineer?
Mr. Engineer, is that better?
Yes.
All right. All right. So Pentecost was the time of the season that the disciples and the followers of Jesus were waiting for the Spirit to ascend upon the disciples. In the New Testament, Pentecost was the occasion of the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the other followers. This is described in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 through 31. And therefore, in the Christian liturgical year, it became a feast commemorating this occasion. In the Old Testament, Pentecost was the feast that occurred 50 days after the Passover. As the Passover feast celebrated the exodus of the Israelites from the slavery of Egypt, the Pentecost celebrated God's gift of the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai. In the New Covenant of the Messiah, the Passover event takes on a new meaning and the celebration of Christ's death and the resurrection, the exodus of men from this sinful world to the kingdom of God. That is why Jesus is known as the bridge. He is the bridge between God and man. So that bridge needed some support, so he decided that he would send along the Holy Spirit to give us guidance and to help us. Pentecost feast is fulfilled and made new by the coming of the new law, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples of Christ. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And then all of a sudden, there came a sound like a mighty wind. All the people who were outside was like, what's wrong with them? Are they drunk? Have they been drinking wine and their spirits are roused? Or what's going on with them? But it wasn't. It was the thrusting from God of the Holy Spirit. The tongues that they received them in their own language, but they all meant the same thing. Each person was able to understand each other's words. And that was strange to them because, you know, there were so many different nationalities, so many different races, and they all spoke different languages. But on this particular day, they all could understand each other. The Pentecostal feast is fulfilled and made new by the coming of the new law and the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples of Jesus. When the day of Pentecost had came, it was like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole houses. They were all sitting there, and they began to appear as tongues of fire. I couldn't imagine
tongues of fire.
How that may have felt.
Yeah.
Tongues of fire.
Yeah.
Distributed and resting upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. If you would like to read this or follow up to make sure I'm telling you the truth, it's in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The Holy Spirit that Christ had promised to his disciples came on that day of Pentecost. The apostles received the power from on high, and they began to preach and to bear witness as the risen Christ, the King and the Lord. They made Jesus to be known to these people who they were, who he really was. Some of them were not sure if he was the Messiah. Some of them was not sure if he was the Son of God. But the coming of the Holy Spirit revealed all this to the disciples so that they could reveal all this to the believers. The moment of this tradition is called the birthday of the church. And then my hands are going like I'm preaching in here, y'all.
If you could sit here and watch her. You know she's a preacher. She's like me. She doesn't talk with her mouth so much. She talks with her hands.
Getting it off. It's really going. And the liturgical service of the Feast of the Pentecost.
What, Jen?
I said I could see her now.
Yes. Yeah, you know.
Oh, yeah. The coming of the Holy Spirit is celebrated together with the full revelation of the divine Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The fullness of the Godhead is manifested when the Spirit comes to man, and the church hymns celebrate the manifestation as the final act of God's self-disclosure and self-donation to the world of his creation. For this reason, Pentecost Sunday is also called Trinity Day in the Orthodox. And this year, Pentecost Sunday will be May 15th.
You betcha.
And that is Pentecost Sunday, so... You know, if you can tune in somewhere and just listen and just be, you know, reflecting on what it may have been like to be in that room when the Holy Spirit came like a rushing wind. On Pentecost. Yeah, sidekicks back. We're at it again. On Pentecost, we have the final fulfillment of the mission of Jesus Christ and the first beginning of the Masonic age of the kingdom of God. Mystically present in this world in the church of the Messiah. For this reason, the 50th day stands as the beginning of the era which is beyond the limitations of the world. 50 being the number which stands for eternal and heavenly fulfillment in Jewish and Christian mystical piety. 7 times 7 plus 1. That leads us to talk about quickly about the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they are wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, fortitude.
Piety. I got that one. I got the fortitude one.
You got
one.
The fortitude yeah. one. I'm still trying to figure out what the piety one is. And fear of the Lord. He makes the holy souls of the just by his presence. The Holy Spirit is not present in the sense of taking up space. We say a spirit is present wherever it causes an effect. In the soul, the Holy Spirit transforms it, making it basically capable of taking in, after death, the infinite streams of knowledge and love that flow within the Holy Trinity. Thus, we are really sharers in the divine nature, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. This is a dignity so great that any earthly honor is insignificant beside it. So there's nothing else that gives you the honor and the significance than the receiving of the precious Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. In closing, remember, the Holy Spirit was given to us to be a comforter, a guide, a teacher. So when you're sitting or when you're walking or doing something, and most of us say, something told me. Now we know that something can be referred to as the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. The color of the Pentecostal is signified by the color red to remember that it came as a rushing mighty wind and a burning fire. I pray that these words have given you just a little bit of reflection about your Holy Spirit. Thank you. God bless.
All right. So... as you know, when Ellen and I are together, and now I have Jen too, we are the Three Musketeers. And although I joke, I'm not joking at the subject matter. It's serious, but we're rarely serious. Are we serious on this show, Jen?
Topic. We're not serious people. We just have serious topics.
That's right.
Yeah, because if we get too serious, you'll think we're preaching at you. We don't want to preach at you. We just want to inform
you. That's right.
Yeah, and that brings me to one of the pieces of information for those of you who may be new, is to remind you that this show, although it's a Christian-based show, we, you know, our theme this year is acceptance, and we're doing a lot of things with WASF and others about learning to accept people for their religion, their faith, their color of their skin, and so on and so forth. We're trying to teach people to be good good people. We don't want to say be a good Christian, because I'm not sure a large part of our group is anything. They're, you know, and that's why we're trying to pull you in, as they say. Now, I have not forgotten. There is a topic for this week. Is there not, Jen?
There is.
Yes. And I don't have WASF online. I don't know if he studied the topic or not. But every show, we have a question. And even though I didn't send you the email because you were out of town, I'm sure, Reverend Ellen, you can figure out something. So here's our question for this week. And last week we were talking about what would we do as Christians in a situation where somebody has lost their faith. And all the answers were really pretty awesome. This week, following in that same vein, is the dogs are still outside. Yeah. That's not part of the question. I just realized, I just heard my dogs barking and they're still outside. Oh, well. yeah. Okay. Bring me back. Okay. So following in that vein, this week's question is, name a time when you knew that grace is what kept the door open to God for you. In other words, it's your belief that only grace could have stepped in and steered you back on track and interceded with forgiveness, both from you and for you. Yeah, it might be a little bit of Holy Spirit in there too. So Jen, you get to be the first monkey on the list.
Okay. Well, I thought about it. As soon as you gave me the question, I was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to say to this? Because there's so many times. But then it was just like a bright light, the Holy Spirit, of course, telling me the one, probably the biggest one in my life was the time when I was running from God, when I had been hurt from church and people were shunning me and hurting, you know, telling me that God didn't love me and God hated me for who I was. And I had done everything I could to run from God and did just about anything wrong that I could. And I was so hurt and so broken that I tried to kill myself and ended up in a hospital. And I remember waking up from a coma, and at that moment was the time that I woke up spiritually as well, and listening.
Man, awesome. I'm plugging in right now because she went to get the dog, so I'm just plugging in, so I don't know what's next, but I'm just going to give mine anyway. And by the time I give mine, then maybe she'll be back. Mine was in the 90s. I had an individual in my car. And I didn't know exactly what the situation was. But to make a long story short, this individual had 84 grams of cocaine in his pocket. And when the police officer stopped us for whatever reason, he told the officer that the drugs belonged to me, which they did not. But when I knew that God stepped in and opened the door for me, was we had to Can't hear me? Let me try Judy's mic. Hold on. Okay, what about Judy's mic?
Can you,
you can hear me now? Okay, mm-hmm. So what I was saying is that I had a person in my car, didn't know the situation. I just gave him a ride, and he had 84 grams of cocaine in his pants pocket. And for some reason, the police pulled us over, and I could have been Leadfoot, knowing me. I was speeding a little bit. And they pulled us over, and they found the drugs on him, and he told them that he worked for me. The drugs belonged to me. At that moment, I was scared to death. I have four babies that I was trying to, you know, take care of and look after, and I didn't know which way was up. But what I did know was that I loved the Lord, and I knew that whatever it was he happened to me, he was going to be there for me. And so we went through a bunch of court proceedings and what have you, and they told me that I was going to serve 20 years in prison. And I said, no, I'm not, because the God I serve is greater than that. So he told me, you know, I went through court and what have you, and then on the day that I was supposed to be sentenced to 20 years, the judge said, no, I'm not doing this. He says, this lady has served in the military. She's a veteran of the United States Army, and I'm not going to do this because she was in the wrong place at the wrong time. At that moment, I knew that God's grace had stepped in and opened the door for me. Not only did I not serve the 20 years in prison, I never served a day in jail. And I know that it was God's grace that stepped in, taught me to be careful who I put in my car and remember to forgive, and that he had forgiven me. That's how my story goes.
That's awesome.
Gotta get back over here.
I gotta get back over there.
Yeah, he can't hear on that mic.
One moment, please.
Well,
we have a technical difficulty. Go, Jen, it's your turn.
Well, she finished.
No, it's your turn to step in and be a,
yeah,
be a sidekick.
Be a sidekick?
Yeah, you know, say something.
Say something profound. Did you guys hear my story? Maybe something happened there. Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, we heard your story, but I didn't know what to do next, so I gave my story.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I wondered what happened there. Yeah, that's awesome. God's grace is amazing. You never really know when it's gonna turn up or when you need it, you know? And I know, like, many times in my life, it just kind of shows up. I always need God's grace for even the little things, because, you know, you just get, sometimes you get angry. Like, when you're sitting in traffic, you'll get angry, and you need God's grace for that. Or when you're staying in Walmart's line, you'll need God's grace for even overcoming stuff like that. And then other things, like, you know, whatever Ellen said, you know, God gives you favor and things like that, and you have miracles.
Indeed. So, indeed, I agree.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I guess it's my turn?
Oh, yeah, I guess it's your turn now.
Yeah, I had to go let the dogs in. They were.
Oh, my gosh.
Who let the dogs out? Who? Who?
What's your time, baby?
Well, you know, believe it or not, I try not to think about the questions I ask everybody else to think about, because then I get all, you know, crazy. But I will tell you, I don't pick these questions as much as they come to me. I mean, I find them in the research I do, but you know, they're given to me, sort of like my sermons. They just kind of pop into my head. But I will tell you, the one time for me that I absolutely know it was by grace and grace only that God gave me a second chance is a couple years ago when I was in the hospital with kidney failure. And the doctors were preparing Irene, and the rest of my friends and family that I probably wouldn't make it through. It was pretty bad. But I is here. And, I mean, great doctors and good things. But, you know, I believe that when a doctor like Dr. Muir did with my eyes and stuff, I believe that there's a part of it that's their technical ability. And then there's a part where the Holy Spirit and God, in whichever form you want to think of him, comes down and guides those hands. You know, I spent a very long time in the hospital and, you know, took what they said very seriously. I really thought I was going to die. But obviously there was something for me to do, and that was to watch Jen and Ellen become reverends.
Hey.
Hey. And to reach those of you out there who have lost your faith or lost your way, we're not going to pound you over the head with the Bible. We're just trying to give you tools to make it by each day. So that's kind of our place. Jenna is busy, I know, working. And Wasif's offline, or I'd ask him. One moment, please. So I'm going to step in and do an impromptu thing. We have a little bit of time left. And I'm going to ask Jen to do this with me and Ellen in part. And I've been collecting information on all kinds of things, but one of them is faith and forgiveness. So I'm going to hit you with another topic to think about right now in a few seconds here. What in your life, newly ordained ministers with years of experience, what in your life do you think guides you more? Your faith or the fact that you have learned to forgive?
That's a good question. But I think for me, it's that I've learned to forgive, because I had to learn that forgiveness was not for the other person. Because while that person that did something to me, said something about me, was at home sleeping in the bed, I was up worrying and mad and angry. So I had to learn.
She can't hear anything. Here, use my mic.
Okay, you and your mics.
And that's why I keep asking for money, because our equipment is dying. Oh, what a great segment.
Okay, yeah, it keeps dying on me.
For me, I think it's forgiveness, because I had to learn that forgiveness was for me and not the other person. Because I just, you know, all the time used to be, well, I ain't going to forgive her. I'm not going to forget what they did to me. I'm not going to forget what they said to me. And the Lord was, in his own lovely way, sent a forgiveness class. And during that class, I learned that forgiveness was for me. While I was tossing and turning and not getting no sleep, losing weight, half eating, the person that had wronged me was eating and sleeping and doing other whatever else and going to bed every night. And I was stressing because of what had happened. And I had to learn to accept that I needed to forgive in order for God to forgive me. So I would say forgiveness.
What about you, Jen?
What about you, Jen?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I probably have to say my faith, because without my faith, I would probably never be able to forgive, even though I feel like that's a part of who I am. But I wouldn't be able to even accept the forgiveness that he gave me, you know? And the faith just keeps me going. My faith in him keeps me going through everything, no matter whatever happens in my life. I can always rely on my faith, and it just builds me up and my stronghold.
For those of you out there who have not heard much of Jen until recently, you know, she came aboard a couple months ago, so a newbie on the show, but an oldie with me as far as friendship.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you, and this is God's honest truth, I'm telling you because what she's saying, she really does walk the talk. She is one of the most humble, faithful people I have ever known. And she recently had some uncomfortable things happen, and I won't go into too much detail. She handled the situation so much like Jesus. And so she's learned in her years of trial and being in the fire. And it shows. I mean, on the show, you can hear how timid she is. I'm trying to get her to come out of her box. And, you know, that's truly the way she is. I think for me, it has to be forgiveness. Although I have an extremely strong faith, and my partner says, come on, you guys, don't be afraid. You know, it is a talk show, and I went back and researched. We are actually in our third year. I thought it was 2 years. We are actually in our third year of broadcasting. And although we're Blabbermouths, we want you to be Blabbermouths with us. If you've got something you want to say or answer to a question that we're asking, we throw these questions out for discussion, not just amongst us. But for me, it's always been learning to forgive because I am, you know, one of those hell-bound, I'm never going to forgive you, you stepped on my toes. But since being a convert, originally a Jew, and so I've only been a Christian since my 30s, which is 30 years, I can tell you that the forgiveness part, my faith is strong as a rock. But stubborn, oh, yeah. So, Brandon, I'm sorry you hung up. If you can, you know, you can give us a call back some other time, or even we got a few minutes left in the show. Jen?
Yes.
Oh, just wanted to make sure you were there. For any of the new, I was just going to say, for any of the new people, you know, we've mentioned the call-in number. I'll mention it again. It's 888-something-something-something. Something-something-something-something. My sticky note fell off my screen. Ah! You know, I am such a dork. There it is, 627-6008. 627-6008. That is a toll-free number. So please, use your shoe phone or whatever phone, smartphone, dumb phone, whatever. So, you know, that is, for those of you who are new, this is a typical show for us, a little bit typical, actually untypical in the sense that this is the first time I got up from my chair and entrusted two people who I very much know can carry this show on. So maybe I'll take a vacation and let Jen and Ellen take a whole show. What do you think? Well, now, wait a minute. Yeah, well, okay.
Yes, we could do it.
Okay. You could do it. This is a piece of cake. It's like talking to your mother. Well, okay, maybe not that hard. All right. So before we leave tonight, I want to ask everyone listening, when they have a chance, please log into the Journey 8's homepage. We are trying to get new pictures of everybody so you can see the whole shebang of us. I have one of Ellen. She's the only one that sent me a picture so far. Jen.
Yeah.
And Wasif. So here we go. If you are listening and you have a chance to log into our homepage, I encourage you to do so. It's www, of course, bbsradio.com. Those are the kind people that broadcast for me. /thejourney8. That will take you to our homepage. Oh, Wasif's on the line. Okay, hang on, Wasif. Underneath my glowing picture, as I said before, is a donate button or alongside of it. Please hit it, and even if you only have a buck to give us. As you could tell tonight from our technical difficulties, our microphones are dying on us. We truly need to update the studio, and we need your help. Anything is better than nothing, right? And we appreciate everything you can give us. So bbsradio.com/thejourney8. Okay, so Wasif, you're on the line.
I thought I'd call in as an outsider today and just make sure everything is working on this end.
Ah, there you go. Answer the question for me.
Which one? The first one or the second one?
The second one. What?
Oh,
what
man. I actually, can I just say that I really enjoyed the show from a Muslim perspective. I had no idea what Pentecost was. And so all of that information is new to me. And I just had a question actually regarding that, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Because I just wanted something. So is this the same as when the speaking in tongues is when people get inspired to speak in tongues? So if that is happening to them, it is understood, and then correct me if I'm wrong, it is understood that they are being inspired by the Holy Ghost. Is that correct?
That is correct. And Jen, you're still there? Answer the question for him as far as how that speaking in tongues worked.
Yeah, and so that's A, and then the part B, I guess, is that has that ever happened to any of you guys on the show?
One moment.
Yes, I've been anointed by the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues. And the one thing I like to say about that is when you speak in tongues, you need to know the interpretation of what you're speaking in case someone says, what did you say? So when you are completely under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you'll know how to answer that question. But yes, I have been blessed to be able to speak in tongues several times.
And when you say a tongue, is it a dialect that's known, or is it that something that comes out of you from a personal reference?
Not,
so is it that you start speaking in Arabic or Chinese, or is this something that comes out of you specifically, and then you can tell the people what you're saying?
This is a God thing. It is not a language of this world. In other words, it's not Arabic, it's not Chinese. It is, for those who have sat and listened to it, it is, it sounds like gibberish, you know, but what it is, it's a very specific language from God. And the important thing is, and I was going to ask Jen, who does the interpreting, Jen?
Usually, well, when I've been in the places, there's usually someone else doing the interpretation.
Correct.
Someone usually has, like what Ellen was talking about, the different gifts of the Spirit. Someone has a gift of interpretation, and they would interpret while someone was speaking in tongues, if they were speaking out loud.
So go ahead, Jen.
When I speak in tongues, it's a private thing that I do between me, and it's usually in my prayer time that I do.
Right. So, Wasif, when anybody ever tells you they've spoken tongue and here's what it means, they
right.
haven't. Only another person can interpret what you say.
I got it.
Many people speak in tongues when they pray to God. You know, it's not uncommon. So, does that answer your question?
The reason I was actually asking is that there's I don't know if you know, but the entire premise of Islam was actually that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, started to speak in a tongue that was from God, from God's, you know, I don't know where from God, the spirit or whatnot, but we believe it was from God. And then what came out of him was actually what the Quran is.
I'd heard that the Quran was an interpretation of what Muhammad had been saying.
Well, it's not an interpretation. It's exactly what he was saying. Like same thing that came out of his mouth. It's not an interpretation. And the amazing part of, and this is why I was so curious, because it like immediately when you guys were talking about it, and you know, in this show you're trying to find the commonalities, it immediately, you know, that's what came to my mind, that, you know, he did the same exact thing. I guess the slight difference was that when he was actually, when he would, one thing I would like to just say is that when he would be inspired, you know, his whole body sometime would go into convulsions. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, it's such a strong force that's coming out of you. And at one time, one of his friends actually said that his leg was under his leg as he was sitting, and he received something, and it felt like his entire leg was being crushed like that if a heavy animal had sat on it. And the amazing part is that what I find, you know, and I would love to actually participate and see somebody speak in a tongue. That would be great one day. But what I wanted to end with by saying, the amazing part is that the Quran to this day, is the tongue that he spoke was so eloquent and so grammatically correct that to this day, the epitome of the Arabic language, matter of fact, at universities, if they're having a grammatical issue, they will reference the Quran to try to fix it.
Wow.
And so to this day, like if you go to the King Fahad University in Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, and students there have told me, like if they have grammatical issues in their theses and dissertations, they'll actually go to the Quran to see how they did it and then try to fix it via that. So it's the speaking God's word and inspiration through a channel, the person, is very near and dear to the Islamic heart as well, I guess is what I was trying to relay.
Wow. Well, thanks, because that was cool. And I'm glad you listened tonight, because like I had said before, we have a bunch of fun, but all fun aside, you know.
I heard I was being jealous on this end.
Well, we'll try not to let that happen too often. You'll get your chance in two
weeks.
Thank
you very much for having me. I'm happy to report at least our call-in lines are still working, so hopefully we can get some funding for those microphones.
Yes, great. Thank you. All right.
So, have a great night.
All right. So, Jen and Ellen, we're pushing up towards the end of the show. And do you have any last closing things you want to say?
I do. I think when it comes to like theology type of questions, that people have difference in, you know, opinions and interpretations of views. Especially when we have different people listening.
Mm-hmm.
So just because we have one view, and we probably have different views, you know, obviously we do, you know, because we have different religions on the show. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's the exact right view.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So we're closing down, and we have a couple minutes, so I'm going to go ahead and say good night, and God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Ellen. And we're going to close with a song from Selah called God Be With You. All right. There we go.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again.
till we meet again. Meet his wings securely.
Thank you for being with us this evening. Please come back again, and remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace.